I'd like to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning as we read the Christmas story. Before we read the old story of how God came to visit us, let's pray and ask for light on our reading. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on this day we give you thanks for coming to join us in this world. Thank you for walking in our shoes, for showing us how to live, helping us to see those that we have overlooked. So we pray on this day, a day filled with memory and a day with hope, that you would speak to us afresh as your people who wait for you. Thank you for this gathering. We thank you for calling us together in this place and in many places today. And we pray that the warmth of your Spirit will not only fill our hearts, but shine a light on our minds and on our paths as we follow Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen. On this Christmas morning, as we read the gospel, I would like to invite you to stand. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. This week I found myself reading this story and seeing it in a lens that I had not seen before. Like many of you, I occasionally will turn the news on. More often, we'll try and avoid it, but turn the news on. And my news feed included several stories. Ryan Reynolds was mistaken this week for Ben Affleck at a pizza parlor. The Bachelorette made her final pick. I'll bet some of you knew that. Maybe you saw that Metallica played a 1997 song live at the 40-year anniversary of the event. Or maybe you noticed that Harry and Meghan released their holiday card with their new daughter. Spider-Man shot a lifeline to struggling movie theaters. And to our surprise, politicians agreed about everything. All of these things were breaking news, and admittedly, many of us are tired and weary by the news. And it's been breaking news because it's been breaking us. We're tired and weary because we don't know what to believe anymore, and we're bombarded enough that many of us have difficulty caring. So that all we can be doing is lifting up stories, all news can be doing is lifting up stories of important people we don't know, that don't have access to us, but they're lifted up for their beauty and their wealth and their power, their ability to catch footballs or throw them, or because they've got more than 100,000 followers on TikTok. These are the people that matter most. So when Luke tells us his story, he begins with a similar kind of puffery of Caesar Augustus, someone who mattered a lot, somebody who is recognizable and someone who is important because he has wealth and power and name recognition, powerful enough that he required men like Joseph to make a 70-mile trek on foot from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Because Caesar has taxes to collect and a powerful army to amass. But in the story this morning, powerful Caesar Augustus only gets three verses. Because Luke has different news to tell, not about the important people, not about the powerful people. He has an alternative news report to share with people who are tired and weary, and it is against the news of the day that is supposed to matter most. No, in Luke's gospel, in the previous chapter, we will hear about the lowly people being lifted up and the mighty people being taken down. That's the news, that God has God's eye on the lowly ones, on the hurting ones, on the ones who don't matter, who don't have any followers, who don't make the news. The people who feel long ignored or unheard or unseen, these are the ones that God has God's eye on. And I dare say people like you and me who worry about the people we care about, who are trying to make it, who remember better days, or who are hoping against hope that there might be better days coming in 2022. People like you and me in search of meaning and purpose. People who are grounded enough in our routines not to expect anything new to happen. Nothing unique and nothing special. So when the messenger comes to these shepherds, they don't know what to do with themselves because they were grounded in their routine and their world was not going to change. The structures and systems and economics put them in their place. They knew that this was the way life was going to be. And it's to those people that the news comes first. It comes first to them who are in their dead end routine, and it comes with glory. In Hebrew, glory means heavy. It means overwhelming. It means overflowing and filled with gravity. It means that something is heavy and powerful here that is going to push away the other stuff that's heavying us, that's holding us down. And it comes with an intensity that we could not predict for ourselves. Caesar is taking a census, but God is giving a son. And it's that way, that packaging in vulnerability and not in power, that ought to hit us sideways. Because it's too good to be true. And the shepherds realized it. And that's why the angels say, do not be afraid, because you're terrified. Do not be afraid. Yes, I'm overwhelmed right now. I am filled with life. Do not be afraid. I'm concerned about the future. Do not be afraid. I'm nervous and I'm frightened and I'm fearful. I am lonely. Do not be afraid. Because the world does not belong to the powerful anymore. It belongs to God, and God is here. And there's a whole army of peacemaking angels who are singing about it. Hallelujah, because God is not just with us, but God is joining us right where we are. In every undecorated place of your life and mine, where there's all sorts of questions and question marks that's dotting our hearts and our minds and our lives that we wake up with, God is joining us in those places. That is the message of Christmas. And the news is that God is not against us, but this God is for us. That's the news. He's not coming to wage war on us, but he's coming to rescue the world that he loves, and fear will dissolve, and hate will collapse. And the poison that is infecting the world and us, and the toxicity that we find ourselves working and interacting in, that will be defanged. Because the world does not belong to Caesar or Rome. The world belongs to God. It doesn't belong to presidents or generals or executives. No, God has turned himself toward us in a new way, and that makes all of the difference. And he's coming to repair shalom. He's coming to bring peace. He's coming to bring wholeness, so that wherever there's suffering or sorrow in us and around us, what is going to be replaced is wholeness. And it's all because of this little baby who's going to set things right and make the world just and straight again. And every baby that enters the world disrupts the peace. And this one does too. So on Christmas, we recognize that the love of God is coming to us in a way we did not expect, and we should watch for it in our own lives. When there's a baby that comes, it's the sign of a love affair. Well, this baby is all about God's love affair with the world. He's coming to rescue us. He's choosing to love, and he's choosing the lowly people who don't have a big Twitter feed. And it's for this reason that we as the church for centuries have heard the call to go into the dark corners, to see the people who have long been overlooked, and to say, these are the places where God shows up. Who are the people that matter? Who are the people that count? Not the powerful, not the rich, not the mighty, not those with large armies. No, in God's kingdom, the people who matter most are the people that we drive by on the side of the road, the people who we've stopped seeing. These are the ones whom God comes to first. And if you read Luke's gospel, all of the people we've stopped seeing are the ones that Jesus sees and calls by name. And we hear that summons as well, not to be filled with self-importance, but to turn our attention toward one another. He has put our skin on so that we put his skin on. So that we begin to look like him. So that the breaking news no longer breaks us, but the breaking news is a breakthrough that people like us matter to God. And this is why the shepherds rejoice, because the report that they got was confirmed in their own eyes and their own stories, and they couldn't help but be filled with something else, not fear, not longing, but great joy, because God showed up in a simple way. The news stories we're reading don't touch us or change us. What happens with The Bachelorette and Ryan Reynolds will not change you. But when you and I have been moved to awe, when we have been reminded that we matter, that's life-changing. So hear the good news of the gospel today, that you and we matter enough that God has come to join us right where we are. And wherever our hearts are heavy, God offers something else to come alongside. Wherever our hearts are filled with joy, he multiplies it. Wherever we are longing and waiting, we are reminded that the waiting is done, that he has come, and he has come, and he is coming. In this year, which will never be repeated, never forget that Christ has come to join us. And that's the good news of Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, there are many things we carry, but today you turn our attention to the baby that you have put in our arms, who has come to walk in our steps, to be among us, to be with us, yes, to join us. So today we thank you for recognizing us in the shadows, for finding us where we are. And we pray that you will give us new hearts and new eyes to look into the corners, to look along the roadside, to see people that we have long stopped seeing. And remind us that your good news is for them as well as for us. Thank you for the angels' voices who announced this good news to all creation. We pray that you would open our hearts and our mouths to sharing that news as well. Join us this day and drive out the darkness as we live in your light. We are grateful, O God, for your great gift to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.